This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Chester, New Hampshire poet Midge Goldberg embraces rhyme. Her new collection, Snowman's Code, puts that embrace on full display. It's rare for poets these days to use rhyme so frequently, but she does it with unusual grace and humor. Snowman's Code won Goldberg the 2015 Richard Wilbur Award for Poetry, and she joins me now to talk about it. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
I was hoping we could start with a reading. Could you read your poem, Harpsichord, for us?
Oh, sure, I'd be happy to. Harpsichord. What happened to the harpsichord for which the great composers scored? Scarlatti, Purcell, Bach, and Byrd. Those Goldberg variations stirred the soul until one holy day Cristofori began to play. The piano's forte sounding loud and soft, and suddenly the crowd was wowed. Indeed, the horde was floored. Oh, Lord, we're bored with the harpsichord. So many levers, so few keys, to do what pianos do with ease. The final blow was, who was siding with pianos? Mozart? Haydn? Over the years, few played it. Lurch, some vicar at some village church. A carpenter out in Seattle preserved the craft, an uphill battle. But honestly, it just sounds tinny, grating like my cousin Vinny. Just because of a simple hammer, pianos still get all the glamour. The harpsichord's flat out of luck, with no one left to give a pluck.
I laughed at the end of this poem when I was reading it, and I had to read it aloud because the sounds in this poem are just so lovely. As are so many of the poems in this book, they have these sounds that just bounce and resonate within the poem. This is something you apparently like a lot.
I do. I like playing with the sounds. I like sometimes getting a laugh, so sometimes I use the rhymes to get a laugh.
Mm-hmm. Rhyming is not as popular as it once was hundreds of years ago. Are you trying to bring it back?
Well, I am only one of many. There's a new formalist movement that's been going on for many, many years. There's amazing people right in this area who are writing in form and meter and rhyme. But I just love it. I like how it adds to the meaning of the poem. I like how it forces you to search for words that sometimes bring out a meaning you didn't even know was there. So I like writing in it.
Mm-hmm. These poems, I think, I can describe them in a word that some poets really resist. And I don't know if this is a dirty word for you. You can tell me if it is. Accessible.
Oh, no. I love that. Because so many people say, oh, you know, I don't usually like poetry, but I like your poetry. I just think that a poem, it has to work on the first level. You know, you want to just get it. Then it has to have an underlying meaning as well, or else it's not really a poem. But if I lose you at the first level, if you don't even get what I'm talking about, you're just going to stop listening. So to me, it's important to make it work on both of those levels.
Mm-hmm. Which poets do you think consistently make it work on both of those levels? Maybe your favorites?
Well, you go back to the big names, you know, Robert Frost, Edna St. Vincent Millay, Richard Wilbur. And then there's modern poets that I know, work with, read, Rina Espaillat. I'm a member of a group, and I could list off four or five people in that group that all reach me the same way.
Another poem I really like in this collection is one called Salt. Could you read that for us?
Salt. I threw salt today over my shoulder, a superstition I was trying, thinking I would adopt it if it worked out well for me. Throwing salt's the kind of thing that should be ingrained, like other things I came to late, like loving you. And that's worked out pretty well, knock on wood.
It's another one of those poems where the last line sort of surprises you and makes you laugh a little bit. At least it made me laugh.
Well, good. This is a free verse poem. I write some in free verse. But it's usually when I start a poem, I kind of have to listen to the poem and hear where it's telling me to take it, whether it's going to be a sonnet or a villanelle or sometimes free verse. Sometimes I just need, I tend to write kind of shorter lines when it's free verse, and sometimes I just need that.
Mm-hmm. When did you decide that you wanted to pursue being a poet in a serious way?
It was all sort of a coincidence, which is even described in one of the poems, where I wanted to study short stories, take this class at short stories, poetry, and we did the short story part. then the teacher put a bunch of books on the table and said, pick one. And my hand just happened to fall randomly on this book by Rina Espaillat. And I picked it up and I said, oh, this is it. This is what I want to do. So that was about 16 years ago now. And I've just been writing poetry ever since. And no short stories.
No short stories.
No.
Yeah. You also write children's books. So is there a relationship between the poetry you write for adults and the things you write for children?
Well, I like to write in meter and rhyme, and I think there's a connection in that clarity, that accessibility, what will kids relate to. So I would say that's a connection. And the connection, the real-life connection, is that my friend who asked me to write the words for it is married to a poet who I know.
Oh, fantastic.
Yep.
So this most recent collection of yours was the recipient of the Richard Wilbur Award, so that's a pretty big deal. Are you working on a new collection?
I am. I'm always working on poems, and when I get enough of them, I start to think of them in terms of a collection.
And you're also working on a murder mystery.
Yes, I am. And actually, the initial idea for it came from one of the poems in this book, just a character that I invented for the poem, and then I liked her so much, I started to think about what else she could do.
I'm going to try and guess which one it is, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. Breakfast Shift at the Inn?
Yep, that's the one. Takes place up in northern New Hampshire, in Franconia, or something awfully similar to Franconia, and goes from there.
I must confess, I haven't met too many poets who also double as murder mystery writers.
Well, it's a new thing for me, but I had a good time writing it, whatever happens with it.
You're also married to a poet.
Yes, I am. Robert Crawford.
And, I mean, what's that like? How does that work as far as are you each other's editors or?
Yeah, well, as we joke, sometimes you have to worry about being plagiarized at the breakfast table. But but we reread each other's work. Usually we're the first readers of each other's work. And we both write in meter and form, but we write very differently too. So it's like a complementary relationship rather than a competitive one.
Well, Midge Goldberg, thank you very much for speaking with me.
All right, thank you.
That's Midge Goldberg. She lives in Chester, New Hampshire, and is the author of Snowman's Code, which won the 2015 Richard Wilbur Award. And you can find a list of the top 5 books on Midge Goldberg's bookshelf at nhpr.org. And you can check out all our conversations with New Hampshire authors at nhpr.org. We sometimes have long chats about the writing process. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Just search for The Bookshelf from NHPR in the iTunes store. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.